Hear me okay?
Yeah, sure. We're waiting for others to join. I think Tyborg should be coming. In the meantime, I want to do a brief introduction to today's episode. So, the Atom Economy Zone is expanding with the partial set security. We have already four chains lined up to join the AZ. Ether, an EVM compatible blockchain focused on Atom, Alice Network, a Perplex, Landslide, expanding MVC to Avalanche, and Lorenzo Protocol, a Bitcoin liquid staking protocol. Today we will dive on Alice Network. So today there is the co-founder of Alice Network, which is here, is Hesham. So welcome, Hesham.
Thank you for having me.
And we have also Mitchell, which should be coming soon on stage. Here we go. Welcome, Mitchell.
Hello, hello. Thank you.
Okay, I'm super excited for this episode because actually I don't know much about Alice Network yet, so I'm looking forward to know more about today. And actually this was like a flashlight, like no one saw Alice Network coming. It was a super exciting announcement. So I think the community is very excited to know more about Alice, especially because in the previous consumer chain announcement, we had a forum post explaining basically how the project will share value with Atom, while right now we will basically discover it today. So before going with so many important questions, I would say, please, guys, introduce yourself.
All right. Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate that. My name is Hesham. I'm co-founder and growth lead. I also handle BD, business development at Alice Network. I met the rest of the founders over the last 3-4 years, I would say, because we saw a lot of value in the Cosmos, right? We were very excited about Atom. We were excited about the Cosmos SDK tech stack. And so we came together and just invested in various areas or got involved in DeFi and started really getting excited about the space, not just in DeFi, but in terms of several other sectors in the space. My background is actually in the military. So I'm an Air Force Academy graduate, spent 22 years and counting in the Air Force. I'm also a pilot on the side, but I do currently working with Alice Network full time. So I'll pass that over to Mitchell.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So my name is Mitchell, based in San Diego, California, just a few hours south of Sham. And yeah, we met nearly 4 years ago, and we always, you know, we involved in, you know, several DAO councils and talking to validators and some projects, you know, internally as well, as well as being part of the communities. And it's one of these things where, you know, we did notice a lot, I think, needed to be done, but there, we were such big fans. And so, you know, I have, my background is more entrepreneurial, brick and mortar. I have one exit in 2015, which was a successful coffee and tea bottling company. And then I have, you know, restaurant chain on the Western United States as well. But my passion has always been Web3 and DeFi. 2015, 2016, when I sent my first Ethereum payment, I'll say, kind of regretting that one. But ever since then, I've been deep into the space, and I found Cosmos around the same time I found Polygon, but Cosmos grabbed me, and the community grabbed me, and the tech grabbed me. So I just like the sense of family here. And so when we were deciding where to build, it was absolutely Cosmos. And it's just been super, super exciting.
Was your first Ethereum payment like a pizza Bitcoin moment, or that's why you're regretting it?
Well, I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you that I did pay in Bitcoin as well shortly thereafter. I was actually looking for medicine for my father-in-law. It was life-saving medication that I couldn't find in the States. I was looking in Canada. It was kind of tough there, but these are $50 a pill and he needed to take one every day, hard to find. And so I did find one abroad, a pharmacy, and I sent my first payment after looking at the website, and it said alternate form of payment. And that was in December 2015. And it said BTC, LTC, and ETH. And that click right there changed my life. I knew right then that, you know, I started reading about Coinbase. How to get the, you know, money into the, you know, onto the exchange and send it right away. And once I did, and I watched the confirmations, and I learned about EtherScan. I mean, I was just looking at all of it, and I got really deep into it. And I started reading more about Bitcoin. And right around the time I was doing that, I had already had an issue with the amortization schedule on a mortgage when I saw that on the back end they're making almost like double. And so there was like a lot of unlevel playing fields. So I saw this as a way to, you know, bring, you know, level out the inequities. And so it was just something that was kind of yanking at me from the inside. And so when I saw this and I started reading about it, I thought, this is it. This is what I need to do.
Yeah, I have to say that's one of the most hero blockchain origin story that I ever heard. So thanks for sharing. It was actually very interesting. In the meantime, we have also Tyborg that joined us. So hey, Tyborg, feel free to also introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. I'm Tyborg, Tibo in real life, and I work for Informo Systems. I'm happy to be here. I'm a director of strategy now at Informo Systems. And yeah, thanks for inviting me to co-host, Rob.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you here also because you have probably a lot of insight to share as well with today's episode. And I actually wanted to ask if, what do you prefer to be called, a Tyborg or Tiborg?
So it's Tibo, like the goalkeeper for Belgium. I don't know if you guys like football or soccer. But the name is Thibaut, and either way works. Let's go with Tyborg since that's what people see on their screen.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess that's more English friendly compared to Tyborg. So I think we can start now, and maybe let's start with an overview of Alice before diving into more pressing question on Atom Value, etc. So yeah, please share an overview of Alice Network.
All right. Thank you, Rob. And I appreciate that. Very humbled and honored to be on with you on Atom Zone to start off. The last few weeks have just been absolute, just amazing growth that we've seen as we started to kind of execute our strategy here to go towards mainnet launch. So we're thankful though for this opportunity to talk about LS Network, and obviously we'll always be available, whether it's here on Twitter or whether it's on Discord or Telegram. We'll do our best, you know, anytime afterwards to get in touch with anybody from the community who wants to know more. But to give a quick overview about what LS Network does and what our mission is, we are the Cosmos Hub's next-gen decentralized perpetual trading and all-in-one DeFi app chain. We are the first of our kind to partner with the Atom Economic Zone, joining through the partial set security construct that should be launching in the next 8 to 12 weeks. Our motto and our ethos is sort of like basically to trade like a centralized exchange, but with all the benefits of DeFi. LS Network is built for a seamless user experience to bridge the gap between Web 2 and Web 3 to help onboard new users and to bring experienced users from other platforms also for a better user experience. So our features in our all-in-one app include spot trading, perpetual trading, simple staking of USDC, and leverage LP. We'll be adding more features as we move on to phase 2 and phase 3 of our roadmap, which will include things like AI tools, such as AI trading bots, and some premium features that can be added as well, as some additional integrations that we'll have with some of our partner layer ones that we've already agreed to with our partners in the ecosystem. So with that, I can go into some of these in detail, as we hit each section. But our goal really is to bring users into our app and provide all of the different levels of DeFi functions to allow them to work on the same app without having to maybe interact with a perp dex on one chain and then maybe go do their spot swaps on another chain and then maybe go do their staking somewhere else. So we want to be able to have a complete platform for them, especially for somebody who's new to the space. And then for those who are very, very comfortable in the space and experienced users, they will just find the experience to be a lot less cumbersome and a lot more user-friendly with a great UI, a great UX, and allow them to kind of continue to consolidate their assets in one place.
Yeah, this seems a great plan. And also, for how long Alice Network has been in production? Like, is it one of the projects that has been building during the bear market?
That is a great question. So actually, we did get started at the end of 2022 with the idea when the founders kind of got together and decided that we would try to tackle some of the areas where we believed that DeFi could really shine. You know, our biggest kind of notes that we took down from community members that we spoke with and a lot of our friends and family was that, you know, I really think DeFi is fantastic. I just don't know how to use it and I don't know how to get involved. And I don't know how to safeguard a wallet, and I don't know how to, you know, list your range of functions, right? It was very difficult for somebody who wasn't familiar with the space already, or didn't have the time or opportunity to get really well versed in it. They just didn't know where to go and how to do it. And so we saw that as really such a huge barrier to entry. So that was the end of 2022 that we decided we kind of put the vision together, started up a community, and then started to roll with it. We didn't incorporate until the first quarter of 2023. And then we launched our first chain testnet in March of 2023. So we're about a year old officially. We did just hit our 1 year anniversary. And shortly after our 1 year anniversary, we opened up our public testnet with our web app so that users could come and interact with it. That's available at testnet.ellis.network. We invite everybody to use it. And as a reminder, you can also sign up on Bonus Block to get additional incentives for the retro drop that will be given out for those users who participate in the tasks, and that those could be done daily. We're excited to report that in just 1 week of testnet, we have 72,000 users, which is just kind of a testament to the strategy that our team took to develop the product to be really, really functional and beautiful and really a great user experience for those who come on and use it. And that's been validated by the fact that the average user is spending 7.2 minutes per session engaged with our web app, which is quite high. Especially the tasks that we have put on our bonus block really only take about, let's say, 30 to 45 seconds. So it's really fantastic that users are coming onto the web app and actually spending a lot of time on there, visiting different places, looking for bugs, you know, trying to be very, very thoughtful and helpful in how we can improve the app so that we can have it fully ready and polished for mainnet launch.
Yeah, this is great. I think that also shows that you guys have a vibrant community, which usually happen when projects actually are very active in bear market, because there are still a lot of users in this kind of market, but you know, sometimes projects are not very active anymore or don't communicate. I think this is also the result of your guys' work of being constantly active during this period. So congrats for doing this kind of contribution to the blockchain system, especially for leveraging the interchain technologies. I want to go a bit back on the fact that there are four upcoming consumer chain, and most of them have been onboarded by informal system. So I think maybe Tibor can share a bit on the onboarding process that they have been made for partial set security, how this is changing compared to replicated security.
Yeah. Just first on the testnet, since Hesham was talking about the testnet, I did try the testnet this morning and I also liked it quite a bit. I thought it was very smooth. I did get my USDC and Alice tokens, and now after this call, I'm going to see what I can do. I think I can swap. I think I can stake. And I think you guys are enabling more features as we go, right?
Yes, we'll be releasing a new feature tomorrow. So stay tuned for that announcement.
Okay. And so how many new features do you guys have in the pipeline for the testnet?
So everything on the header that is not enabled right now, so that'll be perpetual trading, leverage LP. On the pool side, once we enable liquidity mining, we'll also have two different types of pools, which will be the AMM pools as well as our dynamic weighted pools. And then our multi-asset pools, our molecule pools, will be included in there as well.
Nice. And when can we expect perpetual trading? Do you have a timeline for that?
So we have a, I believe it's a 10-phase rollout for our testnet. The reason we do that, the code is actually ready. So anybody who wants to take a look at the code and work with it on from the CLI can do so by looking at our GitHub. We have all of our code is open source, of course. So we are very committed to that. But as far as hooking it up to the front end, the reason we're doing it in phases like this is to essentially really streamline and make sure that we have a good collated method of collecting feedback from users. We want to make sure the users are testing the specific functions that that we put out for each phase, more so for our devs to really kind of have the bandwidth to collect all the feedback and work on any of the bugs or any of the suggestions that they receive from the community. So it's really more of like a focused effort just to make sure that that we're getting the information in a really well organized way. So I would expect Perpetual to be ready, sometime in the next like 3 to 4 weeks when we unlock it, and that will just be based on when we finish collecting and implementing all of the fixes that we're collecting in the current phases.
Ooh, nice. And just I'm curious, like what kind of feedback did you get so far from users?
We're very, very pleased to report that most of the feedback that we get from the users has been absolutely positive. I mean, everything has been, you know, we love the login options, the account abstraction. We're actually very, very excited to actually see that, even though someone can still connect with a traditional wallet, like a Web3 wallet, like Kepler, Cosmos Station, and Leap, and they can also soon to be MetaMask Snap will be added to that list. We're finding that a lot of users are actually taking the social login option. So, let's say like a Reddit or Twitter login or Google login. We'll be adding. So one of the pieces of feedback we got from the community was to expand those login options to include Apple ID and Telegram. So we're working on those. And then from the actual UI side, really, it's just been kind of just display anomalies. We're very, very like happy with the fact that like nobody's really saying, hey, you know, I wish that the dashboard looked different, or I wish that the swap functions or the swap page looked different. People are almost overwhelmingly very satisfied with the actual layout, the actual functionality, the ease of use. Our biggest feedback so far is just the faucet, and that's really because 72,000 people are overwhelming the faucet. But we'll keep making that faster, and we'll keep trying to accommodate the huge demand we're getting. And we've come up with some other ways to get people some additional tokens, such as visiting the Circle faucet on faucet.circle.com, which they can actually use to test our IBC relay. So they can grab 10 USDC per day from that website, throw it in their Noble address, which is very easy to find. If you're logged into our web app, you can actually just hit on the deposit button, transfer in, and then you'll find your Noble address there. You can copy it over. So fairly easy to do, takes about 10 seconds. I use it almost every day just to make sure the IBC relayers are efficient. So far feedback has just been absolutely positive. We're looking for the critical feedback. If you're a user who likes to be very, very critical, likes to come in there and break things, we want you on our testnet, right? That's the most important thing to us. We want the most unusual edge cases, or we want the most detailed review of our web app, because the goal is to make it perfect, right? We want to get it to the point where it's so polished and so ready to go that everybody's super proud of it when they get behind it for mainnet launch.
Nice. Cool. Well, I will resize my Chrome windows a couple of times and see if I find anything so I can complain. In terms of answering your question, for partial set security and replicate security, so obviously the big difference is that replicate security is for the entire validator sets. There's a 100% overlap between the Cosmos hubs and the consumer chain validator sets. So the process, the difficult part of the whole process was basically to go through governance and make sure that enough of the validators of the Cosmos hub, and also the delegators as well, but in general, what makes or breaks a vote are the validators. And so a large part of the process for Neutron and Stride was to make sure that we had enough validators on board that would put yes for it. And ultimately, that was very successful because I think both of them passed with flying colors. I think it was 95% for the first one, and even more like 99% for the second one, which was Stride. Now, for partial set security, the big difference is that the validators will opt in, meaning people that want to validate a list network all of them will choose to do so. So we don't have to go through that. Obviously, Ellis is encouraged to talk to validators and promote themselves to them so that you know, they have the best one on the set. But from the informal side, we're not as worried. Digamos, we're not as engaged with validators as we were with the two first chains. Now, in terms of technical onboarding, the onboarding of Neutron was quite epic and lasted several days. I think the war room was straight up for about 3 days. I hope it won't be the case for PSS chains. The process should be smoother, but we haven't done it yet. So we're actually waiting to see what happened with Ether and Ellis. And, you know, we're very glad to have these teams help us debug and make sure that everything is smooth.
Set security. It's really great to be included in this discussion. And once we're able to, I think, move our set over to the testnet for partial set security, I think a lot of the bugs will be sort of already worked out in advance before mainnet launch, since we'll be able to have that opportunity that maybe some of the others may not have had the chance during the ICS rollout, especially if they were already, autonomous layer one chains when they had the transition over. So I think that that will be a little bit of a smoother process for us to launch. We're already very excited that so many Cosmos Hub validators have actually reached out to us and asked how they can help and how they can get involved. So we actually onboarded several already on our validator set. And that's really important for us because they're going to get familiar with our binary. They're going to get familiar with our GitHub. They're going to get familiar with our procedures, the way we communicate. And that's really important because those are all kind of cultural norms that each blockchain kind of has developed, although Cosmos in general has very good standards that we like to follow. So really excited about this, super optimistic about what we can do to contribute to the Atom economic zone. Obviously, this idea is really adding
actually, I have a question there specifically to Alice and the Atom economic zone, because one of the things that I saw when you guys did the announcement was some spicy comment says, oh, well, another Perpdex in Cosmos, which I don't actually agree, because I think that the goal is to have more Perpdex and DEX than checks, especially when it comes to users. And there is a reason if most of them are in Cosmos, because the technology is probably better designed for this kind of application. But anyway, the question will be, what do you think is the point of advantage that you guys have by launching a Perpdex in the Atom economic zone?
That's a great question. Go ahead, Mitchell. You want to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of perpetual DEXs. There's a lot of DEXs in general, right? The thing is, you know, as we've been interacting and we've been part of the communities and we've been pretty deeply involved in other projects, and while we, hats off, right? Thank you for pioneering, paving the path for us and for everybody else, you know, to get involved. But just like with anything, when you're interacting with it, you say, wow, this is really awesome. And you start to notice and take notes on things that could be different. And so, you know, I think right now everybody is taking a look at the app and how smooth the UI UX is. And I agree. I think it's nice. We've really done everything we could. We've bounced the design off of many groups and many traders over the last, 15 months. And this is what we ended up with. So we're absolutely glad that we put our best foot forward there. But I think, like, you know, on the back end, where we took the most notes and something that took us even a little bit longer to develop and design is the tokenomics. And so yes, Perpdex, but we really spent a lot of time on the tokenomics. I mean, forecasting, looking at the top economies in the world, where, you know, there's a couple hundred economies in the world and very few of them are actually successful. So to think that it could just be designed, you know, in a few weeks or a couple months, or at least for us, it took us a lot longer. And we really had to, you know, start and look at from the bottom up the end user and how it's going to affect everybody, you know, from the initial investors to the end user. And make sure that we have a net, you know, for everybody, no matter when you enter. And so, and it touches on everything. It helps bring liquidity, right? And that's what we were initially doing before we knew that we were going to have this partnership with the AEZ. The biggest thing, you know, like any DEX, wants liquidity, and they want users. They want to make sure when the users get there that they're taken care of, right? They're not going to get diluted and stuff like that. So, you know, I I want to go ahead and say that we are very, very, you know, thankful for everybody that's participated in projects, and they're doing it right now, showing what they can do. And this is what we can do. And this is our version of what we think can take care of the community and help grow the community. We want to make sure that everybody feels, you know, noticed and heard, and their word, you know, from governance to even before governance, you know, right now when they're reaching out to us. So, and this is all because we've been here in the cosmos and we know what it's like to be in the community, because we are the community, right? I mean, it really is grassroots. I would say Ellis is pretty grassroots. And so we try to hit every detail, but like as Prashant said, you know, we want to hear everything. So if you have, you know, criticisms, or, you know, even if everything's going great and you got to be the squeaky wheel. We want to hear you. We want to know what's on your mind. We want to know how we can adjust and adapt to be better. And, you know, if this is a whole community thing. So like I said, we're putting our best foot forward, but we absolutely need the community to do it. And we're super thankful for that. And I think the big, you know, the big pat on the back and the wind at our backs is saying, wow, we really did everything we could for revenue generation, right? And that is taking the two types of success, which is, you know, a project, which one, sure, token value, absolutely. There's lots of reasons for that to happen. It's pretty fun. Some speculation, there's really good reason. But on the other side of success has to be there too, which is, you know, value, utility, an actual product with an actual service. And so that's what we were trying to do. And so we're very, very thankful that we get to, you know, bring this aboard to the Atom Economic Zone, because we took the tokenomics extremely seriously. And I think over time, it's going to show that.
Yeah, so since we are into the revenue generation topic, I think it's time to ask how actually Ellis Network will share value with Atom, because this is probably one of the main questions that we have been getting it since the announcement. So if you can, guys, we'll be able to share some of this, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to definitely talk about that. To the point about whether we are just a perp dex, you know, the reality is we're an all-in-one DeFi platform. So we have a wide range of DeFi functions for users to use, and that's really our value proposition for a user to come in and spend time on our platform, and that is that they can consolidate all the functions that they would normally have to piece together on several other chains. They could just do it to kind of construct a really diversified portfolio, or take different various risk levels, express various risk levels or risk tolerances on our platform. So we have multiple revenue streams on our platform. So that includes the fees generated from swaps, the fees generated from margin trading, the open interest that is charged on that, as well as transaction fees. We'll have potentially bridge fees in the future, depending on how that gets coordinated as we expand our bridging options. And then we have also fee collection from our partner chains that will be integrating their services onto our DEX. So we have a lot of different ways that revenue comes into Ellis Network and that users can benefit from Ellis Network. So it's a really great cooperative, constructive platform. And that's how we're going to generate a value add for the Atom Economic Zone. So we're very, very excited about this partnership with Cosmos Hub, because we believe that as Mitchell alluded to, we put a lot of thought into the design, whether it be tokenomics, whether it be how we collect revenue, whether it be how we share that revenue. So in the coming weeks, you'll be seeing our proposal that gets put out when we put out the comment period, and that'll be discussed on the forums. What our proposal in terms of revenue share to the Cosmos Hub will be. And that revenue share will come directly to the Cosmos Hub to be distributed to stakers of Atom who are on the validators, who are staking with the validators, who are opting in to validate for Ellis Network. So it's a really great value proposition for those who want to get involved, because we do send a portion of our revenues to the Cosmos Hub along with some of our emissions as well. So it'll be a great opportunity to take this chance on Ellis Network as we start to grow our community and start to collect revenue from day one. And we believe we're well positioned for that. We have a great strategy going forward. As we start aggressively going towards our launch and building out the community, you know, we're only at 30,000 Twitter followers now, but we built that in only a few months. So, you know, we could see ourselves 250,000, 500,000, a million followers at some point. Being able to have just a few people, you know, just even a percentage of that on our platform at any given moment would generate huge amounts of revenue that comes back to the Atom economic zone. And I think to your point, you know, about what, why we're even looking at partial set security as a ecosystem versus ICS is to give more optionality, right? So maybe Stride and Neutron had it fit their model so much better to have the complete Cosmos validator set, but maybe chains like ours who are just launching maybe might benefit from a smaller set. So it's a great level of optionality for those who are thinking about building within the Cosmos ecosystem to now kind of right size their model and decide whether they want to go ICS, the original version, or partial set security, or upcoming mesh security, autonomous layer one, or be a dApp. So a lot of different ways to essentially express your view or build your project. And that's really fantastic. And that's why we're so bullish on the Cosmos hub in general. We think the Atom economic zone is going to win for sure, right? But the model is exactly doing what it's supposed to do, which is really provide optionality for so many different people who want to join.
Yeah, I can assume that there could be some competitive advantage. Tyborg, do you want to share something?
Yeah, two things. First, I second what Hisham is saying, that we want to make the AAZ the best place to launch a Cosmos chain. In fact, we want to make this the default place to launch a Cosmos chain. Like, people should say, I'm going to launch a Cosmos chain, I'm going to launch on the AAZ first. Maybe I'm going to become sovereign after a while. You know, maybe I make different decisions after some time, after I get traction, after I get product market fit. But from the get-go, you know, we want to make it so easy that people think it's just the base option to launch as a PSS chain, was a mesh secure chain. On the economics, Rob, because I think that's a very interesting topic. So we're still figuring out exactly how that's going to work, because it's obviously different from the Revolut security tokenomics, where the consumer chain have to remunerate all the validators and all the delegators. I think what's really interesting with PSS is that there are going to be some aspects of game theory here involved, because the validators that validate the chains on PSS will be able to give their delegators extra revenue. That's because ideally, that's how I see it. And we have to discuss these tokenomics with all the PSS chains and see what they think about it. But what I would like to see is that the delegators of the validators that participate in PSS are getting more than the rest of the Cosmos app community. And that way, what we want is that the validators feel encouraged or incentivized to participate. And ultimately, the ultimate goal would be that the smaller validators almost, you know, validate all the PSS chains, and maybe the bigger validators validate less of them. And that way, because the revenue and the yield that these validators are going to get is going to be higher, the smaller validators should go up the set, which is something that has been a problem for the Cosmos app since the beginning.
Cool. And I think to summarize what I've been hearing is this evolution also of how chain will approach to Cosmos Hub, because if before we had first the proposal on the forum and a wide discussion with the community, in this case, the process is more fast, because I assume that partial set security will also have some kind of permissionless onboarding. Maybe Gian can correct me later. But anyway, it's a bit different. So actually, I also understand that now there is this kind of integration announcement, then it follows basically with the proposal. So basically, the information will arrive, but in a different way compared to replicated security. So I think that this kind of spaces, it became also even more insightful, because the community can start to basically get information from how the consumer chain leveraging partial set security will share value with Cosmos Hub and what kind of product they will bring. Gian, is this correct, I missed something, for example?
Rob, just one more comment here. I think something that delegators on the Cosmos Hub should definitely have in mind is to pay attention to the validators that they delegate to. And if they like a consumer chain in particular, say they like Ellis a lot, they should make sure that their validator is participating in the Ellis testnet and then mainnet, because otherwise they will not see, or at least they will see less income from Ellis than they would otherwise. And I think you're right that we should do more spaces. And probably there are going to be several models being explored for PSS. Maybe Ellis model is not going to be the same as Ether and not going to be the same as Landslide. So that's all the more reason to pay attention to this consumer chain in particular, because they won't have the exact same model.
Yeah, it's super cool, especially because right now I have to say there is basically a new announcement every week, which is quite exciting because for a long time, the community has been complaining that things were getting boring. But now I think that the excitement is coming back with all this new project aiming to leverage the Atom Economy Zone also because I think that both Hesham and Mitchell shared some very good insight on why they are going to leverage this Atom Economy Zone. And I think that one of the biggest advantages will probably be the alignment between projects. Also because if also we are having a Bitcoin liquid staking coming, that is going to be a lot of liquidity in the AZ. So that's super interesting. And that's actually my next question to the Alice team is, are you guys already looking to partnering also with project within the AZ for liquidity, especially because, I mean, we have been looking for a DEX in the AZ for a long time and finally it's coming. So are you guys looking also to this kind of collaboration?
Yes, so absolutely. We are very much of the mindset that we want to partner and collaborate with as many chains or projects within the Cosmos ecosystem as possible, especially those that have that same mindset of, you know, providing value to the Atom Economic Zone. We've actually inked several partnerships over the past few weeks. Recently, just announced a partnership with Kudos yesterday. We have a partnership with Stride that you know that I think we kind of discussed over the past couple of weeks that you'll probably hear more about soon. And if you're a Stride ST Atom holder, you might hear some very exciting news about that this week regarding an airdrop. That's all I'll say about that. But yeah, as far as liquidity partnerships and things like that, we're always looking for those discussions. So if you are a team member or you are with those projects, we're always happy to engage and talk. We've reached out to several different chains, especially, you know, even for the other decentralized exchanges or perpetual platforms. We love engaging with them and interacting with them. We've reached out to several. The reason being is we view them as partners, as Mitchell alluded to. Our target demographic is not the user who's necessarily already in the Cosmos ecosystem, right? We are not trying to take users away from people who love Osmosis, right? That's not in our ethos. We want them to continue to use those products because it's helpful to the Atom Economic Zone. What we are trying to do is expand the DeFi involvement in the entire ecosystem. You know, we only have six or seven million DeFi users total in all of Web3. But when you look at, for example, the centralized exchange space, you have over 200 million users. So we have our sights set on those users, right? We want those centralized exchange users to come over, and we want the first place that they come when they set up a Web3 wallet, the first place they should come is Cosmos. And that's what we're here to do to provide value for the Atom Economic Zone, is we want to make sure that onboarding process is super, super easy for them. It's why we allowed, you know, enabled the function of having social logins for the LS web app so they can get started right away without having to go through the big learning curve of safeguarding their own wallet and storing and remembering keys, et cetera. We wanted it to be super easy, and we wanted it to be a way for them to jump from one device to the next if they were logged in via desktop and they switch to their mobile, et cetera. So this is how we think this partnership and collaborative mindset's going to look like going forward. We think that as we grow, we'll help the Atom Economic Zone grow. We'll help our partners on the other DeFi platforms grow. And that's exactly how we all win together.
Yeah, that's super exciting, especially because I think it's nice to have this kind of deep dive on how you guys are looking to collaborate within the ecosystem. It's, I think it's very positive. I just want to jump quickly maybe on Jehan, because I know there are a couple of very close events that were just been announced by Informal System. One is the signaling proposal for partial set security that is actually on the forum. So maybe not sure if you can share already an update on when it is going on chain, and also if you want to share an update on the ADR on Atom Wars, because there are also many projects within the AZ that are looking forward for this one.
Yeah, the signaling proposal should go up to tomorrow on chain, it's been 2 weeks on the forum, so that's the usual timeline. That's just sort of to get approval for this update to interchain security on partial set security, and it will be an upcoming upgrade, probably v17. So v16 is going out soon, then v17. We're going to do an incentivized test and stuff before then. So the signaling proposal is just to kind of get the get the approval for it. I'll address, I'm gonna go back through the form, address any other comments and questions I haven't addressed yet. But it seems, you know, obviously people are pretty in favor of it. And then Atom Wars, we've been working on that too. Last couple months, I've been working on a prototype contract, Cosmos contract for Atom Wars. And we are during Q2 going to kind of finish it up and finalize it. And there's, still some things that need to be done, but a lot of the basic mechanism, how the voting works is there. So we're moving ahead on that too.
Cool. Thanks for the update. And actually there was like this big alpha of the signaling proposal coming super soon, because tomorrow it's quite soon. Of course, it could be also delay of a couple of days. That could be normal. So I don't want to make people too much excited for tomorrow.
Well, I mean, it's been on the forum. I mean, that's just the two week schedule. So, one other thing I was going to say about there was a question earlier about the permissionlessness and whatnot. And basically, the way it works when partialist security launches, it will not be permissionless. It will still require a governance proposal to approve consumer chains just during the kind of initial launch period. We'll be working to make it permissionless later, like fully permissionless, where somebody can just kind of come and without any governance proposal, start a chain and have it start running as soon as validators opt in. But we kind of want to probably later, during this year, we're going to be working on sort of a front end for it too, to make the deploy process a lot easier. And we kind of want it to be a complete package where it really is pretty streamlined to start a chain before it goes fully permissionless.
Yeah, I think it makes sense also because it's a new technology. So I think it's better to start with permission and then later move into permissionless. Tyborg, do you have any last questions?
One other thing I'll say about the permission. So basically, just in case anyone missed it, I mean, we've been obviously talking about it a lot, but the partial set security is opt-in. So basically, validators don't have to validate a consumer chain if they don't want to. And like Tyborg was talking about, it's going to be up to delegators to choose validators who are validating on consumer chains that they want to support and they want to earn revenue from. So this proposal to launch a partial set security consumer chain is not like a replicated security proposal where it makes all the validators have to run it. It's just basically, I would say, more like clears them for launch, because validators are going to have to opt in to run that chain too. Just making sure that's clear.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying. Tyborg, do you have a last question? Otherwise, we can also open the floor to community questions. So if anyone in the community has a question for Alice Network, feel free to start to hit request.
I was curious about the tokenomics. I got for a second, so I don't know if that was explained there, but how are Alice tokenomics special? Let's say, how are they different from DYDX, who is the leading perp extension Cosmos, and actually elsewhere as well?
That's a great question. So we were very, very thoughtful with our tokenomics, as Mitchell alluded to earlier, in terms of, one, keeping our supply very, very disciplined. So we will launch with 50 million tokens. We'll inflate to 200 million max. So that'll be the last bit there, as the maximum 200 million. We do have a burn mechanism. We also have the ability to turn off inflation early, so we don't have to get to 200 million. That's just our initial max. But if we are achieving so much revenue that we don't even need to get to that 200 million, we can always turn off the inflation early. So that's kind of the first step there. We studied very, very deeply the Generation 1 DEXs that launched that had to pair their assets on their liquidity pools with their own token. Obviously, back then it was a lot more difficult. We didn't have Axelar, we didn't have native USDC, so they, that was just a creative way for them to do it. So, to no fault of their own, that's how they had to build pools back then. Today, we're able to launch with the luxury of having Noble USDC, and when we designed the DEX from the very beginning, we knew that was coming. So, we're all USDC paired DEX. So that's super important for our tokenomics, because anybody providing liquidity on our pool never has to use the LS token to jump into a liquidity pool. So for example, if you wanted to create an Atom liquidity pool, you would pair it with USDC. So Atom USDC. Or if you want to do a multi-token pool, you could do like Atom, Ethereum, Bitcoin, and USDC in that pool. So just a very, very disciplined in terms of how we view the utility of our token. With partial set security, of course, with Atom, with Cosmos Hub doing the validation and network security, the LS token is not providing network security, as we get that from Atom, of course. So the LS token becomes critically important as a governance token. So it's really, really important that we rally a very strong community and that we, you know, we're very active and involved and very communicative with our community in terms of how that LS token is held. So the idea of being an LS token holder is that you have a very, very long-term mindset because you are involved in shaping the future of LS Network, purely because you're focused on not just the governance side, but the revenue generation side. So as a LS token holder, when you stake your LS, you are sharing in the revenue share of the platform along with poolers and along with Cosmos Hub. So that's a really great way to express your view on LS, and then knowing that there's not going to be this huge inflation that's gonna dilute or create a lot of sell pressure on the token, and rather that almost every function on our platform occurs with USDC or other tokens, that there's not this competing pressure to try to always find utility for the token. We already have our utility, it's governance and revenue share and gas fees. But we do also enable gas fees to be paid in Atom and USDC, and we'll probably unlock some other options as well for based on user demand. So from that perspective, I think we really, really have a sound foundation and basis for why somebody would ever want to get involved with the LS token. The other thing I'll add is when you stake the LS token, we have a multi-token system. So when you stake Alice, you actually receive our vesting token called Eden. And that is a vesting token that vests over a 90-day period. So if you wanted to claim your Eden one for one for Alice, it would be a 90-day vesting schedule. But what we do encourage for people who want to be long-term holders of Alice is that you can take your Eden, turn around and stake it, and then earn more. And then you could also apply a multiplier called Eden Boost. So the just as a clarification, the Eden and Eden Boost tokens are not minted tokens. So actually, when you unstake, you actually burn your Eden Boost. It just goes away. So it's just a multiplying factor. And then the Eden and Eden Boost, because they're not minted, they don't put any pressure on the actual tokenomics of our platform. And you can, like I said, when you vest your Eden, you can exchange it one-to-one for Alice. Keep in mind, that's just a secondary way of being paid when you're a staker, right? The primary way of being paid when you stake the LS token is USDC revenue sharing. You will be paid out in USDC. Super, super important at the tokenomics level. Super, super important in terms of sustainability, in terms of how people view kind of the next frontier of how DeFi works. Right. So, you know, Mitchell has said this many times, but, you know, if you have 500 USDC of revenue share, when you wake up the next morning, you're still going to have 500 USDC of revenue share, right? Or whatever you accrued overnight. So that's super important for us that user to kind of have a clean awareness of what they're actually getting in terms of, you know, value add for holding the token. So I hope that's kind of described it. Kind of, I tried to kind of cover all the bases there with the why our tokenomics are different. But we did put a lot of thought into making sure that there wasn't this competing force that, like, if the market was to have a really big downturn, that our TVL on our DEX wouldn't be further exacerbated by having the LS token paired in the pools with the other tokens as well to bring it down.
In the meantime,
nice. Yeah.
In the meantime, a community member joined. So, Mr. Rox, if you have any question, feel free to share it.
Oh, so can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so my question is, what is your roadmap plan 2024? Can you share with us?
Yes, so we'll be releasing a roadmap as we get a little closer to mainnet launch. You know, initially our mainnet launch is planned for, I would say 8 to 10 weeks. I don't know if that's still kind of the target, Thyborg. Is that when we're looking at having partial set security completed in the testnet?
That's a question for Jehan.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Jehan.
Yeah, it's going into a devnet right now, actually. People don't know about this, but we're doing some private testnet seed. But we're also going to do incentivized testing before then. But yeah, we're hoping to get it fully launched during Q2.
Okay, great. So yeah, on our roadmap, that will be you know, kind of like a big milestone for us, of course, is mainnet launch. In conjunction with that mainnet launch, you'll see either like some sort of launch pad or centralized exchange listing. We're going to be looking at multiple centralized exchanges. So we have a lot of strategic partners that are kind of enabling that for us, which is really fantastic. Plus the support we're getting from informal systems is absolutely fantastic. Atom Accelerator DAO, everybody's been really fantastic to work with along the way to get us to this stage. And we're incredibly thankful for that, as well as just individual community members within Cosmos and even partner layer ones, right? The layer ones who've come in to support us have been fantastic. I mean, this is exactly why I'm super excited with all the hard work that you guys have put in at Informal and AA DAO, because this mindset, you know, of coming together to kind of see our synergies and build up the entire community and raise it together. It really is a rising tide lifts all boats, right? And I genuinely believe that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not here to compete with anybody. I know that the founders of LS Network are super, super bullish on the entire space, right? We're investors in other chains within the Cosmos, right? So we definitely don't wanna, wanna create like opposing forces. And we're seeing this mindset really turn into something special because of how accretive it's already been over the past few months as these chains have come together and decided that, you know, it makes a lot of sense for us to find where we have a lot of overlap or mutual functions that we can kind of push together and really grow our community. So I'm thankful for that. Like I said, stay tuned for more roadmap items. We're going to add some more. We'll have those AI tools. I know our community's been asking for AI. I know that's a big buzzword right now, so we're gonna get it for you. It is further down the roadmap. I would say later on in 2024.
Okay, can I ask another question, sir?
Absolutely.
Okay, ambassadors play a very important role in every project. Do you have an ambassador program?
Yes, we do have an ambassador program. If you follow us on Twitter, you can see we actually launched a cadet program over the past several weeks. We filled it with over 3,000 cadets. Don't hold me to that. I'm sorry if I don't have the number exactly correct. Very, very excited about the level of participation we got about that, because to become a cadet with LS Network, we actually put you through a fairly rigorous Cosmos education program. So we don't just want you to know about LS Network, we want you to know about the Cosmos Hub, and especially the Atom Economic Zone, since that's a key tenet of what we stand for. So believe it or not, so many people who applied to become cadets couldn't pass the test, which is no big deal, right? There's a little cooling off period. We help you with study materials, and you come back in, and you can retake the test. So, I believe that program filled. We still have additional ambassador programs that are coming up, and then we'll be announcing what we call our first brigadiers. Will be announced this week. I think our Twitter announced that a couple of days ago. So, please stay tuned. Join our Discord. We have a lot of different roles for people that they can get involved with. We're very much of a community mindset. We want people to contribute where their talents are best suited. And obviously, you know, we grow stronger based on those contributions that we get from people who bring, whether it be, you know, communication skills, marketing, graphics, audio, anything that you can bring, you know, ideas behind trading strategies that we'll use for our AI bots, et cetera. Like, we'll have a lot of different places where we'll be seeking community involvement. So please do join our Discord, follow us on Twitter, and stay tuned for more announcements as well on that.
Yeah, also, thank you, Mr. Rocks, for your question. Also, welcome to Curious Jay from AA DAO. Do you have any question to share as well?
No, not really questions. But I just want to say I'm thoroughly impressed with the LS team. They've been very professional. I really like their UX. I'm testing out the testnet right now. So it sounds like they've carefully planned things out. And one thing that makes me bullish about AEZ is that recruiting, you know, very competent teams to deliver on good protocols. Like I see AEZ as being more of a quality Atom Economic Zone versus the, you know, a typical restaking rather than quantity. So yeah, I'm happy to, you know, be working with the team. I haven't personally had any calls with them, as other members like Yusuf aren't here. But yeah, I just want to say I'm very excited for what they're building.
Yeah, thank you for the kind words, and thank you for the support that we're getting from Atom Accelerator DAO. It's really, not just like I mentioned earlier, opened up a lot of opportunities for us, but also really allows us to more closely align our our strategy of benefiting the Atom Economic Zone. It helps to have you guys involved with us in the beginning so that, you know, it's built into our initial plan, and we absolutely love that. I think we're finding a lot of synergies already, and we're always open to, you know, that feedback and that communication. You know, same thing with Informal, just absolutely a pleasure to work with. How lucky are we in the Cosmos ecosystem to have, you know, these two as kind of like a beacon, you know, that are really just representing all of the very best things of the Cosmos. And I'm honored and thankful to work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I also just want to show, you know, say my appreciation on behalf of our whole team and our community. We are absolutely honored to enter the AEZ. We're absolutely going to try our best every single day. We're very excited about it. And I also want to say we've met with several Cosmos chains and projects over the last several months, and everybody's been so welcoming. And it's just great, right? It's welcome in, what are you doing? You know, and they'll give us advice, stay objective. And to go into the AEZ and, you know, interact with, you know, the original, where it all started, right? And, you know, and for Atom, it's, you know, it's said oftentimes that Atom, it hasn't really gotten traction, but it's been like the impetus for so much that's began in the Cosmos, and so many other projects have started here. And it's all because of Atom, and we just want to show that appreciation and bring value back to it. You know, there's absolute utility, and I think, you know, Atom is one of those things, and the team's one of those things where they've done so much for everybody else, where, you know, they haven't really seen the benefits for themselves. And I think this is the time, you know, to make that happen and to show love back and bring what they've made it possible to do for the founders and for the projects. You know, show the love and bring the love back. And so we're absolutely happy to do that. We're very, very happy. We're very honored. Thank you.
I think that's a wrap. And thank you, everyone, for sharing their talk. If anyone doesn't have a final talk, I think we can wrap it up. And I want to thank also Tyborg for being a co-host today for the first time. And I think you have been a great co-host. So thank you for coming. Do you have any last talk?
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. And sign me up for the next one, for co-hosting. I thought that was great. I learned also about LS. I thought Hesham and Mitchell did a really good job explaining what it was all about. I want to also invite everyone to come next week to the Twitter space with Lorenzo. Lorenzo is a Bitcoin L2 that has been announced as also basically the newest member of the AAZ, a new PSS chain, and they will also be talking to us about what they intend to do. So Thursday, I think that's going to be on the Informal Spaces, managed by Isabel, who's probably here from the Informal account. But yeah, everyone, welcome to join for these guys as well.
Absolutely. Be sure to join Tour the Space on the Informal System for knowing better Lorenzo, which was just announced, I think it was yesterday. I don't know, because sometimes I lose the perception of time in this space. But yeah, it was super, super recent. So if you want to know more about Lorenzo, be sure to tune in to the space. Once again, thank you everyone for coming and for sharing your perspective on Alice Network. And we are looking forward for the launch.
Thank you for having us. Cheers, everyone.
Nice.
I'm gonna tell you something. When the world starts to get really bad and these mugs out here robbing, you gonna love digital currency.
All these motherfuckers, they be running and gunning, and I'm all like, I'm sitting back just having fun in the sun, and then I'm like 1 out of 100, I'm just building abundance. The sum of everything we built during the last 100 upsets. You're getting salty, feeling faulty, you ain't no man. I keep robo here, grinning ear to ear, throwing up anarchy, smoking toiletries, spitting philosophies. Look at the dossier, we rack like geology. There's layers to this shit, like it's sedimentary. All these little onion peels getting torn off and buried. Imagine the smell, that shit is a vital experience. Without no and how you will not survive, period.
He's a fucking trip, man.
Jimmy, if you listen to this, right, you're getting absolutely fucking ripped to death, like on a spaces for the life, you little troglodyte bastard. I hope you fucking listen, I hope you come to my house, son. I swear to God, man, I've got fucking loads of weapons and mad dogs, man. You're just a little laugh, man. Go on, fuck off, man. Go on, fuck off. Harmony. No, no, the wonder you're looking for a fucking job. You fucking idiot. You've just been fucking at my desk. Fuck off.
try to change the course of the portion philosophy. I'm just here for the corporation sponsor. The bottom of me feels like I won the lottery, like I'm ghosts in this pottery. Chill, Demi, boy, the shit's supposed to be haunting. If it wasn't, ain't no puzzle, you would try to train your muscle. Air dropping like a fatal hustle, but the pay is bustin'. Think of all the loss accrued just to pick up on the truth. Because I'm not the year, all those sub-downs would make up for something. I guess it just goes to show, the fuck do I know? At least it's quiet over here, I like my little silo. It's better than watching them fight over how to divide my time between sitting at the desk and the ride home. Devs at Mickey D's, they leeching off that Wi-Fi. Zapdos and Moldy shipping more than five guys. Console open, waiting for the kamikaze. When the flash phones bang, they're feeling like paparazzi. Snapshot motherfuckers. We got layers, meteor jawbreaker. We cracking a lot of craters. We rapping a lot of pay dirt, maxing out relayers. Imagine the smell, $5 wrench to your Darth Vader.
It's really funny to us at Binance that everyone here is talking about blockchain attack. We know who all the validators are. We know where they live. And we're going to their house. We're going with a wrench, a big wrench. And we will attack them with the wrench. And then we will take their validator node physically and put it in a truck and drive it to China.
Right, so this is an extension of the activities you performed on BTC, right? Funding and creating these massive Bitcoin mines, putting them in caves, putting them in factories that were abandoned in the past, and also using electromagnetic pulse bombs to detonate the USA and the other country mines, right? So you're now applying this strategy to LUNC in order to take over the chain, is that correct?
It's more simple. There's no EMP bomb. It's just a van of men in balaclava, and they have wrench. And they're taking the physical validators from people's houses. They are usually very fat, and they're usually in the shower with trying to wash their mice droppings off their clothes. So it's very simple. We just walk in and we take it. But if there is someone who is sitting at the computer or sleeping at the computer, we hit them with the wrench really, really hard. And then they say, stop. Don't do that again. And we say, that's okay. Just give us your validator node. And then they give it to us and we drive it to China.
Channel Spaces.